This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
The greatest of all time. Feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world. Good morning. Welcome. We've made it to Friday. Now it's sunny. Did it not look like the end of the world was coming? Not too long ago, Luke?
Well, it looked like Seattle.
With the fog?
Yeah. So whatever your interpretation of Seattle is, that's what it looked like.
It no longer looks like Seattle, except for the ground being wet.
Oh, now it looks like Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that ground will be dry in 4 seconds, because it is Phoenix.
It is Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, our final show of the week. Luke Lipinski, once again, sitting in for Dan Bickley. We will not be here on Monday, holiday, and then Tuesday, Bick will be back.
There you go.
I think. I mean, I haven't had any contact with him.
Right.
So I
no
still have
has.
Possession of his phone.
Nor will you.
Yeah.
Because you have his phone.
Unless you're wearing a goofy costume. You have not seen Bickley or talked to him.
And I will admit this. I have checked his phone periodically to see if he's trying to get a hold of me through his wife's phone.
That's what a good friend would do, but you don't need to keep responding to the texts he's getting from other people. I feel like that's over the top.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
That's for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's just to keep me entertained. And I did say that, like, Bick is, we all have experienced this. He's on his phone a lot.
Yeah.
Texting.
I look over and see.
I think he has actually more, like, old school phone conversations than anybody I know. Yet the lack of activity on his phone speaks to a level of unpopularity that I... Nobody's trying to reach the guy.
Doesn't it freak you out when somebody actually calls you on the phone now in 2019? Like, you assume it's an emergency.
Yeah.
If somebody actually dials the number.
Yeah. But my son, my older son calls me on a regular basis.
Okay.
And when he does, everything okay? You're good?
That's nice, though. That's very nice.
It is nice. But
yeah, I agree.
Generally speaking, I hate being on the phone. I can't stand
it. See, I used to hate it, but now everything is so much text that if somebody calls, I'm like, oh, this is, yeah, okay, I'm in.
I get 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. phone calls every single day.
Yeah, but you pay for those.
Those are 900 numbers. No, from like Serbia or like.
Really?
Yes. Yugoslavia, which doesn't, in the country doesn't even exist anymore.
And then your phone just went blank yesterday, didn't it?
I know. I am wondering if it's... I don't ever answer them. They ring once. I've looked it up online. It's a scam where they ring once and then they try to get the call back and then they charge you all kinds of stuff for super long. But it's really horribly annoying.
Is it a scam or is it just like the ultimate Serbian prank of let's call an American once and then hang up?
Is it the same number every time?
No. I block every number that calls in, but and it's not the same country every time. In fact, last night, France and Lithuania.
What?
Now, luckily, each of their numbers is like
wrong with you?
Is like 600 numbers, so I know instantly that it's don't answer it.
For years, it doesn't happen anymore, but for years, and it might have had something to do with my I was with a different cell provider. But I've had the same cell phone number probably now for 15 years.
Okay.
There was a time where I was getting the calls of somebody else who apparently had the exact same cell phone number as me.
Oh, that's weird.
And the problem with this person having that number was apparently this person also didn't pay any of her bills. So every day I would get collection calls. And it got to the point where I would actually speak to these people. I'm like, what number are you calling? Because I get this person's calls all the time.
Yeah.
And it was my number, which I had for 10 years at that point. And then they just stopped.
So she was a genius. She just committed to a number that wasn't hers and put it on all of her billing statements.
Yeah, I started to feel bad. I think I paid a couple of her electric bills. Just I felt bad for her.
That's happened once with Trey Wingo. Changed his number. Mm-hmm. I think when he started Golic and Wingo.
Yeah.
So I texted him. Nothing. Never had a response after he was great at responding, always coming on. And then all of a sudden, one time I just got a text back. I'm not Trey. I don't know who Trey is. It's a stupid name. And stop. He goes, stop texting me.
So you got my goal.
Signed
number.
Mike Greenberg.
Leave me alone. I'm not on the show anymore.
I don't know who Trey is. That's a dumb name.
I just wanted to set Jared up to do his Vlasic Pickles Mike Greenberg impression.
I had never heard his Mike Greenberg impression.
All right. That being said, let's kick this thing off.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Cannonball.
All right. We are officially every team now at the All-Star break in the NBA. Festivities this weekend get underway with the celebrity game tonight. Are you a fan of the celebrity game?
Yeah. More so than the real game, yes.
I like the celebrity game and the Young Stars Challenge better than the real game.
Yeah.
I like the slam dunk contest and the three-point shooting contest and the skills competition more than I like the regular game.
I like that broken down car in our parking lot more than I like the real game. I mean, we could go with this for the next 4 hours.
But here we are in Phoenix, Arizona now, officially with all 30 teams at the break. But the Phoenix Suns, owners of not only the longest losing streak in the NBA at this time, at 15 straight games, but the worst record in the NBA. Thanks to the New York Knicks snapping an 18-game skid last night against the Atlanta Hawks.
It makes me feel better. Like, for all that we have gone through this season with the Suns, it felt wrong that we didn't even get to have the title of worst record and longest losing streak heading into the All-Star break. We have earned that. 11-48, we should at least get to be the worst, not the second worst. That's almost worse than being the worst.
Yeah, I think I was actually I referenced 11-47 and 24 games left. No, it's 11-48. There's only 23 games.
It's going to be tough to turn it around now because you lost that 24th game.
Have you seen the celebrity all-star rosters, by the way?
I have not. Who's on it this year?
I'm going to give you a name.
Okay.
And you tell me who this person is. These are celebrities.
All right, I like this game.
Mike Coulter.
Does he have anything to do with the Coulter Automotive Group sports
doesn't,
line?
He doesn't, okay. I wish. In fact, all you have to do is tell me what they're famous for. You don't even have to tell me what they're in.
I don't know who Mike Coulter
is. He is an actor from the show Luke Cage, which I don't think is on anymore.
Okay.
All right. Terrence J.
Just the letter J?
That's it.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh,
Jared's got a call from Serbia.
Calling.
They had to dial 700 digits to make that call. You could be at least decent enough to answer.
Did he actually just shut his microphone off and answer a phone?
Yeah, in the middle of a bit.
In the middle of a bit that he's doing?
He was doing, yes. Here, Vince. You want me to just pick it up from here? Maybe he just got a call from Terrence J. that was, stop making fun of me on the air.
You actually just shut your microphone off and answered a phone call.
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't. I'm expecting. I didn't know who it was from.
Was what? It? Who were you?
No, it was not important. Not at all. Terrence J is an on-air host. It just says.
Oh, that was worth waiting.
How about famous?
To find out.
Famous Los.
What?
These are the celebrities.
Is it Carlos?
Famous Los.
No, got no idea.
Social media influencer.
Oh my! They've graduated to having social media influencers. On the celebrity game?
Are you not one of them?
I'll just go through the rest of them here. Bo Reinhart.
Don't know.
Aja Wilson.
She's a WNBA player.
Yes.
So she actually fits in the game.
Jason Weinman.
Nope.
Rhapsody.
Nope. Of the Bohemian variety or no?
And then a couple. Chris Daughtry, JB Smoove.
I know who those people are.
Yes, those are two people
is
that I've
Rhapsody
heard of.
Rhapsody, a rapper.
Ronnie 2K, who is the director of marketing for 2K Sports.
Wow, okay. His last name's really 2K? That makes a lot more sense then.
AJ Buckley.
Nope.
All right, I'm less excited about this game than I was.
Yeah, I am
before.
Too.
Quavo.
Rapper.
I know who that is.
Amanda Seals.
Nope.
Adam Ray.
Nope.
James.
Adam Ray's a comedian, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
James Shaw Jr.
No.
I don't even know who James Shaw Sr. is.
Wow. Bad Bunny. That's Bickley's girl.
Oh, that's Bad Baby.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know who this is then.
All right. So that dampens our. That dampens our enthusiasm for the celebrity game.
It was so exciting Jared had time to take a call from Lithuania in the middle of the bit.
Other stuff that won't go away in the NBA, and it'll be even magnified during the All-Star break, is the Anthony Davis situation in New Orleans. He leaves the game last night. Not only leaves the game, leaves the arena early with his agent, Rich Paul. Somehow the Pelicans beat the red-hot Oklahoma City Thunder. Alvin Gentry was asked about it. He's fed up with the whole situation. Brian Windhorst eviscerated the NBA for the situation that the Pelicans and the Anthony Davis are in right now. And now, today, new developments. The Pelicans fired Dell Demps as their GM.
He was getting my vote for GM of the year, too.
For just not bending over and making the trade to the Lakers, but now it probably would have saved his job because the Pelicans would have been able to at least move on.
Yeah, so now the NBA really does have a problem. Anthony Davis demanding a trade because his agent is facilitating a move to the Lakers. Like, that's okay, that's kind of an issue, whatever. But when you're going to fire a GM for not immediately acquiescing to that and just giving in, now you've got issues. When Anthony Davis, who up to this point in his career was a pretty likable guy, is just leaving in the middle of a game because he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Well, he has a shoulder contusion, so there's no way you could actually stick it out there.
That was a joke last night. Like, that made the NBA for the first time in a long time look like a minor league last night with that going on.
Yeah,
I agree. That was pathetic.
So we'll get into that as well. Some strong comments from Charles Barkley on the subject as well. Newsmakers Week continued and wrapped up today with Doug and Wolf. All the movers and shakers in the sports world in Arizona made their way into the studio, the Ak-Chin Community Studios here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cliff Kingsbury among the last guests, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Long half-hour interview with the guys this morning. Thought it was some interesting stuff. We'll get into that. Some other Cardinals news. College hoops. Man, Arizona is not the capital of college hoops in this country.
No.
ASU coming off the loss to Colorado. They continue against Utah tomorrow. Big game for the Sun Devils in terms of their tournament hopes.
So they'll probably win that one.
Bobby Hurley scheduled to join us coming up in just a little bit here on the show. U of A loses again. They lose to Utah. Six straight losses for Arizona.
So in the NBA right now, you have DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one overall pick from U of A. And you have James Harden, who probably will win MVP this year, or at least right there with Giannis.
I don't think it's that foregone. I think there's actually, like, in terms of number of candidates, there's a lot right now.
But he's one of the top two, don't you think?
Yeah.
Either way, you've got the number one.
Yeah, top two, yeah. I would say that.
The number one pick is from U of A, and a likely MVP winner, I would say, is from ASU. And then you look at their colleges, and they're both just not getting it done this year.
No, they are not. And also, GCU going in the wrong direction at the wrong time. They had one conference loss, and it was on a buzzer beater. They've now lost three straight games in the WAC as they lose by 12 points in overtime to UMKC.
But doesn't it feel like they're officially part of the Phoenix sports family now?
Yeah.
Like, they were always kind of doing their own thing, trying to get ingratiated into the group. Now, when they had a chance to run with the title of best college basketball team in town, they can't win. Welcome. You're here. You've arrived.
You're no longer probationary members of the sports scene. So there's that. And then we have to, another gloomy note in the splash to wrap things up. And that is the Coyotes last night losing to St. Louis 4-0, a game that I attended.
Can I ask you to do me a favor and never come back out
again? I have to say this. It was one of the most boring experiences I've ever had attending a sporting event of any kind. That's how smothered the Coyotes were by the St. Louis Blues. There was almost nothing for Coyotes fans to get excited about the whole game.
All I can tell you is that hasn't been the case this season, but it 100% was last night.
I mean, they don't have a good home record. They haven't been a good home hockey team.
Yeah, but they're at least fun. They lose a game 5-4 or whatever. They'll go out there, they'll score, they'll give up. It'll go back and forth. St. Louis has won 8 in a row now. They're the hottest team in hockey, and they've been scoring 5, 6, 7 goals in a game. Last night, they just decided they were going to win by not allowing the Coyotes any shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you were there for that, Vince.
It was, wow, riveting.
They didn't lose any ground in the playoff standings, though.
It was so dead in there, Bobby Hurley made a comment about it.
Oh, boy. Babe.
Well, that is your uplifting splash for Friday, February 15th, 2019.
It's not splash, even really a splash. It's like a drip.
Splash is brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust. For any of your plumbing services, call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger. And yes, it is the Friday of the All-Star festivities. We joked about it, but the New York Knicks won a basketball game last night. They had lost 18 straight games, but now, by virtue of that one win, they have sunk the Phoenix Suns into owners of the worst record in the league at the break.
I'm sure they're not happy in New York today. Now that they've already built their 2019-20 roster around Zion and Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
All they really, it doesn't matter what they do. They're getting Zion Williamson. Unless somehow LeBron James successfully recruits him.
The Lakers just barely miss the playoffs and then win the lottery.
Which is, yeah.
That, then I would agree the NBA is fixed.
Because, you know, LeBron,
if the Lakers win the lottery.
LeBron's got all kinds of compliments for Zion Williamson.
And he signs with Rich Paul before the draft lottery. Yeah. that would raise some eyebrows. Nothing would happen.
All right, so we will take an extensive look back at the first half of the season of the Suns with Kellen Olsen. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock today. But I, for one, I believe if I feel this strongly about needing a break from Suns basketball for 6 or 7 days,
yeah,
I know the players that are not participating in All-Star Weekend, which is most of them. And some of them might be there just, you know, as observers, but they need to get away from the culture right now too. It's a good time. It's never a bad time to get a break when you have 11 wins.
Yeah, I don't want to say toxic because it's not like anybody's doing anything wrong. What's the word? It's just depressing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting separation to make. Is with as bad as the Suns' record is, I don't get the feeling that the environment with the team is reflective of that record.
You haven't had in the locker room or in general around the arena?
I'm just talking about the actual team personnel. Okay. There's a lot of frustrated fans. We can't ignore that.
I just mean, like, even, you know, I mean, the 14-15 season with the Coyotes, when that was their worst team probably ever, mm-hmm. and they still somehow didn't get the top pick. I mean, I remember being around there, and it's just kind of everybody that works around the team is just kind of like, this is depressing. This isn't what sports are about, losing that often. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they haven't had another season like that, but that's basically what the Suns are going through right now. But
we haven't had any like real outward frustration from anybody wearing that uniform.
True.
Which I think, A, speaks to the fact that they are a young team. I mean, Devin Booker's made some comments about being frustrated, but nothing where you would say this is, you know, we've reached problem crisis mode yet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those guys are frustrated by the losing, but they also realize that there's not, the way things are constructed, there's not an alternative.
Yeah. I mean, an alternative for right now, there's just, I continue to wonder how quickly, it feels weird to say, how quickly can the Suns turn this around? We're 9 years in. But how quickly from this point can the Suns turn this around? If you've really got your two building blocks in Ayton and Booker, I mean, we shouldn't be anywhere near this position even next year, right? But if you had asked me 12 months ago, I would have said, no, we're not going to be, this team's not going to be winning 21 games next year. And I would have been right. They're not going to win 21 games this year.
Well, I mean, again, without knowing what the supporting cast looks around those two building blocks, the reality of those two building blocks is they're 21 and 22 years old. If you don't get the right players around them, or the players around them currently do not develop to the Suns' liking, it's not out of the question to say they're 5 or 6 years away from being, quote-unquote, winning NBA basketball players. Because they are, at that point, they'll be 26 and 27 years old, which you're starting to enter your prime years.
If it takes 5 or 6 years, are you saying winning as in like a playoff team? Or winning as in winning playoff series. If this team isn't in the playoffs for another 5 or 6 years, at least one of those guys and like 50% of the fans will not be here when they make the playoffs.
All right, let's ask a question.
Okay.
What happens first? The Suns play a playoff game or Talking Stick Resort Arena's renovation is finished? I have to lean toward the renovation being finished right now because based on what they have.
There's actually a schedule for that?
It might be a loose schedule because they're early in the process.
But, yeah, you at least know that's going to happen. Well, that'll be perfect. It'll be renovated just in time for their triumphant return to the playoffs. I don't want to answer that question. That's more depressing than the splash was. I'm not answering that.
Okay, fine.
I think this team could be in the playoffs within, like, 2 or 3 years. if they're really going to make a bunch of changes this offseason, we heard James Jones yesterday say he's going to re-sign everybody and then add like 12 more players, and they're going to have the first 53-man roster in the NBA. If you've got an entire collection of if you've broken all the rules and have way more players than you can have, I think they'll sneak in at some point. He's thinking outside the box.
We got into depth about the comments from James Jones on these airwaves during the week, and maybe pointed out some, you know, definitely pointed out some contradictory nature to a lot of the things that he said. But I will say this: the organization realizes that finally, and maybe it was foolish not to subscribe to this from the beginning. You can't win with this many young players.
Yeah,
and if this process with young players had started back in 2011 after they made their last playoff run, maybe we'd be in a different spot right now. And I like a lot of the pieces they have. But last year, I was one of the people that called it the most important offseason for the Phoenix Suns in their team history. I was wrong, because their failures of last offseason and the moves that they did make that didn't work out, now it's about this offseason and the offseason after that.
I'm not sure you were.
We weren't wrong at the time.
No, but I turned out to be wrong.
I don't know that you were wrong.
It's sort of
very important that they didn't get it right.
It's like the Cardinals. The post-Bruce Arians, post-Carson Palmer offseason was their biggest ever until it didn't work, and now this is their biggest ever.
Yeah.
Terrific. Two teams. Back-to-back biggest offseasons.
Which one plays a playoff game first, Cardinals or Suns? I mean, just by the nature of football.
I would lean towards Cardinals because of the nature of football.
They could. It's not inconceivable they could play a playoff game next season.
Every year we see a worst to first team. I'm not saying that's going to be the Cardinals next year, but every year we see one of eight teams accomplish that. When was the last time a team went from worst to playoffs in 1 year?
In the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
It had to be like the 50s.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's where we are.
One thing that does point out,
waiting for you to say something happy.
Well, one thing that is amazing is you really, truly, when you never make the playoffs, you realize how late the All-Star break is in the season. Like for 16 of the teams, they have an entire, you know, two or three more months after the season ends of playoffs.
Yeah.
But for the Suns, they've played three quarters of their season already.
Yeah, I mean, 23 games left for the Suns, and you know that that's it. For teams that make it to the championship, and let's say they have lengthy series, I mean, there could be 50 games left on the schedule for those teams.
Yeah. And they won't be done until the end of June.
Yeah. So that's another point, too.
I think the next goal, if you're a Suns fan, is you just, even if you're not going to make the playoffs next year, you want to hit the All-Star break with the games still being meaningful. You still want to, even if you're not in the playoffs, you could be in the playoff race, or you could be seeing noticeable improvement.
Mm-hmm.
The more I talk, the more I realize maybe this isn't feasible just for next season unless we're only talking noticeable improvement. But they're, you know, I mean, the Coyotes didn't make the playoffs last year, and you knew they were done because the first half of the season was so bad. It made sense. They were working in all these new players, a new coach, and whatever. But at least this year, even if they don't make the playoffs, it's nice to have meaningful hockey in February and March. You know what I mean? This is almost like, it's like the sub-playoffs. But with the Suns, and with the Coyotes, even last year, you knew you were done basically by New Year's. So then you're just, there's just a lot of meaningless games. You have to really, truly love the sport at that point.
Well, in the NBA, and I'm not pitting this all on the Suns, the NBA too, when you have teams in that situation, the games become that much more meaningless because the meaningful players aren't even playing. And that's something we'll have to monitor the rest of the way too, to see how the Suns handle their personnel with 11 wins.
Yeah, because now you are, what, you're 20 games away from having the most ping pong balls for Zion Williams.
Yeah, now when they resume after the All-Star break, you're putting yourself in the position, all right, if we improve and show some actual progress, we're damaging our hopes.
The worst thing I would say, you said, what, 23 games left? 23 games left.
Mm-hmm.
If you, the worst thing to do would be to go like 6-17 or something in that stretch where it's like you didn't really show that much improvement. I guess that is improvement, but like 5-8, where you finish like with the third worst record, you hurt your chance at Zion, but you don't show any improvement. If you show like legitimate improvement, I'm fine not getting Zion. I want these guys to feel good about something heading into next year, whichever ones are going to be back. But to just kind of be mediocre down the stretch would be the worst.
Yeah. Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Marotta podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Marotta podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Coming up, Cliff Kingsbury visited the studio today with Doug and Wolf. We'll get into some of his comments next. Bickley and Marotta with Luke Lipinski, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I think you can build it around. You want the base skill set. You want guys, obviously, to be smart, talented, competitive. But we try to adapt it to their best skill set and make sure they're successful and they're comfortable in it. And so we've done it with a variety of different kind of styles of play and different type of mindsets.
It's Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah. He joined Doug and Wolf this morning, part of Newsmakers Week. They're answering the question about, is there a certain type of quarterback that you feel like you need to run your offense? You hear the answer there. Obviously, there's more than a couple of tinges of Kyler Murray. Does he fit better than, say, a Josh Rosen would? And you heard the answer, and he said, I don't know. But if you look at what Cliff Kingsbury did at Texas Tech as the head coach, and they put up some prolific numbers, mostly with Patrick Mahomes, who is of the mobile variety. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is ever going to be a guy that beats you with his legs, but he could get out and make plays with his legs.
Yeah.
He was the outlier under Cliff Kingsbury, outside of Baker Mayfield very early in Cliff Kingsbury's tenure. Those were the only two guys that really were mobile at all and having success in that offense. Davis Webb had success in that offense, not a mobile guy. Even the last 2 years, I mean, Nick Szymanek a couple years ago, not a mobile guy. The quarterbacks they had last year didn't put up any real rushing numbers. I think that is a misnomer when people do suggest, well, Kyler Murray fits this offense better because he's a mobile, athletic guy. I don't think
narrative.
You need it.
That's just the easy narrative. Also, when you're rattling off Texas Tech quarterbacks, do you think somebody from USC is out there writing all their names down so they can hire them as assistant coaches?
Yes.
Because that's how they run their football program now. I mean, what did we decide yesterday? This is read between the lines week when you're bringing in all the GMs, the presidents, and coaches. Cliff Kingsbury, he's thrown into a real interesting spot with your first NFL head coaching job, being so young to be in that position, and you have the number one overall pick, which you could have never foreseen back in October when he makes those comments about Kyler Murray. He wasn't an NFL coach at that point. I'm guessing he didn't even have NFL aspirations anytime soon at that point. He was Texas Tech's coach, facing Kyler Murray, and yet everybody runs with that clip, and here we are.
From what I understand is that the thinking of the depth of NFL opportunity that was out there for Cliff Kingsbury was consultant on Sean McVay's staff for the rest of the year. Yeah. There was a reason why he took the USC offensive coordinator job.
And that was after he got let go by Texas Tech. When he made those comments, he was Texas Tech's coach.
Yes.
You know? So he's in that spot that you and I have been talking about this week, and we're not the only ones, where if you're asked a question that looks like it pertains to Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen, don't alienate your quarterback that this team is built around. And I still believe it's built around Josh Rosen, but also don't slam the door on the possibility of taking Kyler Murray because of the trade value of that pick.
Yeah, a lot of the conversation centered around Josh Rosen, and we'll get into that because he is the incumbent guy. It's a unique situation, as we pointed out on the show earlier this week. If Josh Rosen was part of this year's draft class, he'd be the number one quarterback on the board, and the Cardinals likely would be salivating
over
him.
And they wouldn't
be
trading it at that point.
No.
They would need the quarterback.
And they already have him in the fold, so it's unique there, but the question did come up from Doug and Wolf, too, with you in the position of having the number one pick. And yeah, you do like Josh Rosen, obviously, but will you study everything Kyler Murray or dismiss it because you have Josh Rosen? Here's Cliff Kingsbury's answer.
Yeah, it makes you think you're in the Truman Show. You know, when something like that comes out, you're waiting for the guy to kind of, hey, this is all a big play that you're in. But no, I think anytime you have the first pick, you're going to look at all the top guys. You're going to evaluate everyone, see who can help your franchise, your organization the most right now. And so we'll evaluate them all and go from there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know when this is going to be overkill, but I can tell you like 9 people at the Coyotes game came up and told me they love it. So eventually We'll run it into the ground, or you guys will. I won't be here for that.
I've had a lot of people, not a lot, a few people reach out on social media and say, enough with the Kyler Murray talk. It's stupid to even discuss it.
No, no, not the Kyler Murray talk, the Barry White music behind Cliff Kingsbury.
There's nothing stupid about that.
No, no, that's what people like.
Okay, I understand people feeling that way, but it's not stupid. Teams can change their course, their thinking, their methodology, their future in a year. Last year, on February 15th, if I would have suggested Steve Wilks won't be the head coach of the Cardinals, stop talking about that, it's stupid. It became a reality.
Mike McCoy won't last halfway through the season.
Yes. I, again, want to put my support behind Josh Rosen after a lost rookie season, most of which was not his responsibility for being as bad as it was. I do have belief in him, and I think Cliff Kingsbury will be able to unlock things in him. But again, you have to do this if you're the Cardinals.
So here's an example. The Bears gave a ton of money to Mike Glennon, right?
Yes.
The year they signed him, they moved on from him.
Yes.
And traded a lot of picks to do it. Picks they didn't have to trade to do it.
But what's the difference between that and with a rookie quarterback? It's the same deal. You have a quarterback for 1 year, and you're it's not the right fit, and you're moving on for it.
But Rosen,
the Cardinals
was so highly touted coming out of college, we haven't even seen it yet. Glennon wasn't.
Yeah, but lots of people are highly touted out of college.
What percentage chance, as we sit here on February 15th, would you give that Josh Rosen isn't the starting quarterback for the Cardinals heading into week one? No, take out injury or whatever, but that's just, he's the guy heading
outside
into week
one. If he's healthy, I would put it probably under 2%.
That he isn't?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at the same spot. I mean, there's a small percentage chance they go crazy, or the next 2 months while they're sitting here talking up Kyler Murray to play this out, they end up accidentally talking themselves into Kyler Murray, which makes it sound like a romantic comedy at that point. But I think it's got to be Rosen. I mean, this is a smokescreen, isn't it?
And honestly, it has to be. You have to play the game.
They're not. It's not like the Cardinals have come out and said, like, hey, we're really interested in Kyler Murray. They just haven't denied it.
There's something about Murray. Would that be the romantic comedy then?
Save that. We're going to film that, too. It'll take us 3 years to film it.
Here was Cliff Kingsbury about the relationship with Josh Rosen, how much he's been able to pick his brain, sit and communicate with him.
Yeah, not a ton. Obviously, you can't get into the football extensively at this time of the year, but talked to him a couple times on the phone, and he's excited. I think he played in some similar systems conceptually in college, and I think it'll play to his strengths.
That time it sounded like he stopped because he heard the music.
Wait, what is that?
Can we get somebody from like Texas Tech on to see if they ever had the same experience where they're just playing Barry White at all times? Maybe Cliff's used to this. Maybe this has followed him around.
What city is Texas Tech in? Gudger, Texas? What is it?
Lubbock?
Lubbock, Texas. That's
Gudger?
Right.
I think the people that are calling you on your phone are from Gudger.
It's a fledgling republic in Central Europe.
Gudger Republic. They want Jared to be the king, and
they need
answer.
And they need your PIN number badly.
That's how else do you start a republic if you don't have Jared's PIN number?
Also, this possibility and speculation, and it's not coming from the Cardinals, obviously, Cliff Kingsbury made the statement, it wouldn't be any fun if we just dismissed all of this. And he even referenced clickbait. Well, let these guys get their clickbait, but it wouldn't be fun if you just came out and poo-pooed it. And it wouldn't be right strategically, but there is that whole, is this a distraction for Josh Rosen question that's out there. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on that.
Yeah, I don't think it will. Josh is he's a strong-minded young man, very competitive and very talented. And he understands that, just like everybody does in this league, that the day you get drafted, everybody's trying to find the next guy to replace you.
That's
and
right.
That's just the nature of the business. And it comes with the territory.
It's already bordering on old.
We don't usually play this much Kingsbury.
Really, I get sick of things really quick.
Here's
you know
the thing.
This.
You do. So what do I, should I play it every time, or just the first time we play it, or just the last time we play it? Because I don't want to.
No,
I think it is a very funny bit. I don't want to run into the ground.
Yeah, I think you surprise us.
Yeah.
Okay.
There should be no consistency to it.
Perfect. You've heard our show before,
yes.
Actually.
That describes the show.
Exactly. No, so I want it to fit in.
No consistency at all. All right, coming up next, the NBA has got a mess on its hands in New Orleans, and it's getting messier by the minute. We'll get into the Anthony Davis saga with Luke Lipinski sitting in for Bick. It's 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
You don't like the stuff that I'm bringing to you out of the blue?
Shut your dirty mouth.
Shut up. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
Alvin Gentry, head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, after a win last night, a rare loss for Oklahoma City during this Russell Westbrook streak, but the Pelicans beat him 131-122. And he's talking about the Anthony Davis situation when he uses the phrase dumpster fire, Luke, and he's exactly right. It got worse today, by the way. Dell Demps was fired as the GM of the Pelicans. Anthony Davis goes up to block a shot last night, comes down awkwardly, comes off the court holding his arm in a strange manner. Immediately gets checked out. It's termed a contusion, and he leaves the building before the game is even over with his agent, Rich Paul. He's in Charlotte for the All-Star festivities, and they're determining whether or not he can play. I think he should be banned from playing in the All-Star game. If you're not willing to go out there and be with your team, I don't care what your circumstance is, you're not above the league, Anthony Davis. You shouldn't be able to put on the All-Star uniform this year. Wait till next year when you're in L.A. The whole thing is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing across the board. It's to the point where I'd almost... Would you rather be the Suns than the Pelicans at this point?
Come on.
It's like starting now. Forget the last 9 years. Just starting right now. Because I don't know...
I mean, honestly, yes.
Actually, that is interesting.
Honestly, yes. I would rather be in this situation.
I mean, in theory, you should be able to get something great back for Anthony Davis, but I don't know.
I mean, when this started to creep up before the trade deadline, that's the question people were asking locally, is how long is it until the Suns are in this scenario where they're unable to satisfy their top player to the point where he wants out of town? Okay, you can ask that question. I don't think it's, you know, impossible for that to happen. But right now, Devin Booker is happy being here. He's frustrated with the losing. But everything else he said about being in Phoenix and everything he's done has indicated he's all in on this process.
Yeah.
It's a reality for New Orleans. They had a generational player wearing that uniform who wants out of town and now wants out so bad he's not even putting forth effort.
This is everything that's wrong with the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, literally all rolled into basically one situation. Anthony Davis, who honestly was one of my favorite players in the league, up until a few weeks ago, really fun to watch, seems like a really good guy, seemed pretty down to earth, is basically eviscerating an entire franchise because him and his agent want him to go play with LeBron James. I mean, they just fired their GM. I don't really know why they fired their GM. If you read Woj's tweets today, or this morning in the last hour, the plan is essentially still to do what Dell Demps was doing, kind of.
But he didn't do.
Yeah.
It has to be
like a kid's book.
I can't believe he didn't take that Lakers offer.
Don't do what Dell Demps didn't do.
And we talked about it in real time. The offer the Lakers had out there, when you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, that's pretty good. You have three young players that could develop and reach the next level of stardom. You had a couple of draft picks. You're ridding yourselves of a situation. But because it was the Lakers and because... people sat and looked at this and said, well, that would be just LeBron and Rich Paul getting what they want, and we can't have that happen. There was pressure on Dell Demps not to do it.
I commend him for what he did.
Yes.
He stepped, like I said this earlier in the week, he's the one GM that's actively stepping in front of this trend where we're just going to go to super teams where the players get to dictate what the teams are. That doesn't work. And we were talking about this last week, I think it was with Bickley. I'm all for the players having more power than the owners. I think the NFL is a mess in the sense that the owners just basically get to run everything. I understand they're the owners, they have all the money, but the players have no power in the NFL. That doesn't work. players versus owners, I'd rather the players had the power. But in the NBA, it's crossing over to players versus fans. The product is going to suck if this continues.
Yeah, here's
it
more,
just is.
Here's more from Alvin Gentry.
Whatever our new normal is, we want to get back to that and put all the other stuff behind us and just start playing and trying to win basketball games and trying to compete and trying to get our young players better. That's all I want to do. That's it. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm done talking about it. And to be honest with you, I'm going to talk about the team and Frank and how we need to get him better and what Kendrick is doing and how we're playing overall and what we're doing. That should be the story from here on out. That should be it. It's that simple.
Can you do that, though?
We're going to do that. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
That was from last night. The situation obviously took a turn with Dell Demps firing today. Adrian Wojnarowski wrote on ESPN, ownership's plan with a new GM will be continuing to push back on Anthony Davis's preferred trade destinations if they don't make sense for the Pelicans, especially with a full year left on his contract. Ownership was livid with an injured Davis leaving the Smoothie King Center during Thursday night's game, sources say. Gail Benson is telling associates she wants an overhaul of the Pelicans and a search for a GM to take command of Davis trade talks and the reshaping of the team's future.
It's just, it's so... There's so many layers to this. The Pelicans were 48-34 last year. They didn't do anything wrong. They paid Anthony Davis a ton of money. That's a smaller market team trying to succeed in this league, right? They didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got, you know, you're reading that tweet right there, the ownership is livid that he's hurt. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the Lakers to look and say, well, you know, he did get hurt. We're going to offer you less now. I wouldn't put it past Anthony Davis to fake an injury. I don't think he's doing that last night.
They're livid
he might be.
Yeah, they're livid that he's hurt, or they're livid that he left the game mid-game.
That's the thing. You could read that either way. The first time I read that, I was like, they're livid that he left the game and it looks like a circus. But now it's like, well, or maybe he's injured and the Lakers are going to prey on that and offer even less.
But they couldn't not play him.
If you're part of a team...
They haven't done anything wrong.
In any capacity, the only way you leave the arena during the game is for a medical emergency to you or someone you love.
Yeah.
A shoulder contusion... That's not a reason to leave. I don't care how bad your situation is or how bad you want out of town.
How much
Shut
is Anthony
up.
Davis getting paid?
$25 million.
How much per game? I mean, honestly, he's getting paid, what, $250,000 a game, basically? A little bit more than that? You can't just sit there for $250,000?
You've obviously never been contused.
I guess not. It seems like other players can sit there with even bigger injuries.
Here's why it's so bad for the NBA. Is that the dream of, like, if we could just get that generational player in the draft,
he will leave. He'll just leave.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter anymore. But the Pelicans didn't put a great team around him. They didn't do what's right as an organization.
They almost won 50 games last year.
And the Lakers have been horribly run the last few years and have done nothing to deserve all this.
There's this thing, I won't go too deep into hockey here, but when a player becomes an RFA, like some of the best players, like Austin Matthews was set to be an RFA this summer, and there's this like unwritten rule where other teams won't offer sheet that player because even though it would greatly benefit them, they're all sort of just hesitant to upset another owner or another GM, right? And they don't want to put the other team in a position where they have to match and overpay for their own player.
Yeah.
The NBA is the exact opposite. The Lakers just decided LeBron wants Anthony Davis. We're going to destroy a franchise because they're basically doing that to the Pelicans. And the one guy that was standing up to them just got fired for standing up to them.
Yeah. But to Jarrett's point, the Los Angeles Lakers haven't won a playoff game since 2012. A playoff game. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2013.
Yeah.
There's only one solution to fix this problem.
You can't contract the Lakers out of the league.
Yeah, dissolve the Lakers. They are bad for business.
See, I don't see the Lakers specifically as they're the problem in this case, but Jarrett just hit on it. You can sit here as an NBA fan and convince yourself, okay, yeah, the Warriors have already won the title this year, and yeah, there are these super teams forming, but just maybe because I love basketball and I love the NBA, I can convince myself one day my team will get that transcendent player. Except, as Jarrett said, they'll just leave. They'll force you to trade them.
This year, with this kind of story and the reality of business and the fact that we know who's going to win the championship again, I sit here as a consumer of the NBA, and I do. I love the NBA. I've loved it for a long time. My follow-up question to myself is why? Why do I love the NBA?
And do you have an answer?
It's based on nostalgia.
But it's increase. It's one of the only sports increasing in popularity.
Which is nuts.
Because they're loaded with star power. Like,
that's it.
To me, they're botching
players
this.
Only care about star. I mean,
they're not. That's the problem.
Fans
they're
only
not
care
loaded
about
with star power. There's 30 teams and there's 10 stars and five of them are on two teams.
But compared to what they were like 10 years ago, I mean, to have Russell Westbrook and LeBron James and James Harden and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis.
They've always had the list of stars, regardless of what era we're talking about. It's just that they were spread out more.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember there being this many individual storylines around the league, which I think could be great. But if you're going to start crossing the lines where the last hope that like 20 of these teams had was if we get a top pick and we get a franchise player, then we can have a chance to compete. And again, the Pelicans won 48 games last year, basically with just Anthony Davis. They have other pieces, but Anthony Davis is the only reason they won 48 games. Now we're crossing that line too of even if the guy's under contract, he will just force you to trade him.
And by the way, they added DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, they tried.
To try to help. And DeMarcus Cousins says, you know what? I'd rather play for no money for the Warriors than stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the NFL want Adam Silver? The more I look at this, I like Adam Silver. I think he does a lot of things right off the court.
Did you see him introducing the new jerseys?
No.
Oh, we'll get into those later. Burns and Gamble will be broadcasting live starting at 2 p.m. from GCU to get the Lopes pumped up for their first baseball game in the newly renovated Brazel Field. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Coming up, Antonio Brown to the Cardinals. One odds maker says the Cardinals are the favorite to get AB services. We'll dive into that next. Bickley and Murata with Luke Lipinski in today, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.